thank the Lord we're able to be here together tonight. That song had some messages in it, didn't it? Really, the central focus of that seemed to say to me, it portrayed a yearning heart. And I hope we all can identify with that tonight, that we all have a personal yearning to know our Lord. Wherever we are, you know, life sometimes catches people and they feel their need very keenly. And sometimes that need is to be saved. And sometimes that life catches us saved people in a place where we need revitalization. Sometimes we need maybe not forgiven again, but sometimes just saved from ourselves. And the Lord loves us. I love the message of that song, the yearning, Lord, shine your light on my path. I need to know where I'm going. I need to know sometimes we in life find things so confusing at times. It's just life. But those times serve to accentuate to us how much we need God. And then sometimes we feel so keenly how much we need His love. And then sometimes we try to pursue life in our own efforts, and we realize how much we need His grace. We need all of that. And I thank the Lord that there's a scripture in the Bible that says it's a father's good pleasure to give. I know it says the kingdom, but you know what? All this is in His kingdom. His grace, His love, His light, His fatherhood, His personal interaction with us. He's not an absentee father. He's one that wants to be involved in every part of our life because He loves His children. And He wants to bring you and I to a place of stability in our life, a knowing, a clear ringing knowing down in my heart that I am a child of the King. That there's an assurance there. Maybe we can open up our Bibles to Genesis. In the beginning of a meeting, thought I was going to say in the beginning, God. We'll get there. And in the beginning of a meeting, it's a real good time to have the attitude of that song. And bring our heart very tenderly, very gently, very really, very sincerely to the Lord and say, Lord, shine upon me. Lord, lead me, guide me, reveal what I need. I need your guiding hand. So it's a good time to set our mind as we think about the progression of a meeting, not just the service tonight, but as time goes on through the meeting, the Lord is likely going to sit down and talk with us. He's not going to skip over you in that bench and talk to the one next to you. He's going to stop by and talk to you because He loves. And He wants to demonstrate His love to you and I, that the Father wants to sit down and just talk. And He'd love for us to just open up our heart and listen. Well, in the beginning, I'm not going to start in the first chapter, but I'm going to quote a little bit of the first chapter of Genesis. In the beginning, God. And I know it says more than that after that, but I want you to know, I want us to consider that in the beginning, God, throughout life, God, and at the end, God. And we don't have to come through all this expanse or the process of life. We don't have to go through life with a dread of God because His grace is available. His love is available. And at the end, we can meet Him with a great assurance in our soul that all is well. I love that song. It's Well With My Soul. That song just rings in my heart. When we go through that song, I know y'all like it too. But there should be a great crescendo in part of that song. It is well with my soul. My sin not in part, but the whole is nailed to that cross. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Hopefully the Lord will help us tonight that we can see in some of the revelation that we find in the Scripture. We're going to actually start in the fourth chapter, Lord being our helper here. Fourth chapter of Genesis. First verse introduces to us a couple boys that were born, little babies. Really quickly, it seems to pass over their childhood. But we recognize you don't get old when you're born overnight. Time passes. In the process of time, it's the third verse. Maybe we should go ahead and read the second. And she again bare her brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was tiller of the ground. So in the process of them dealing with life, doing what they would, and God didn't tell Cain not to be a tiller of the ground. It was okay. Part of what his job was, it was okay. He didn't tell him anything. He didn't tell Abel that it was better to be tend the cattle, the sheep. He didn't say that was the best. They, in the process of time, they develop. And the Lord allows us to do that yet today. In the process of time, though, as they grew, there is something begins to build within our consciousness, a conscience, this recognition that I am in the beginning God. You see, I am in His presence. I have some responsibility. I don't know what all Adam and Eve may have shared with their sons, but it could well be that they may have told their sons, there was a time that we talked with Him in the cool of the day. There was a time we shared some wonderful times, and that there has been something has entered in that has really caused a lot of separation, and we grieve the time that has happened. And this is something that, how do we reconcile? But He is God, and we had such sweet times at one point. I think the Lord didn't completely abandon them, but yet there was a sense of separation that sin always brings. And these young men grew over the process of time. They grew to a point they themselves had a yearning in their heart. You know, sometimes we see things revealed in the Scripture. You know, emotion is something we all deal with. The sense of responsibility, these things that come up with it in our conscience and we begin to recognize, and we seem to be eternally tied to who we are. And that's our emotions and all our decision making, the way our mind works. These young men were dealing with that too. Sometimes in the process of us growing up, there's a reason why sometimes we try to teach our children not to give over to their emotions, not to let their emotions be their God or their controlling factor. We realize, because if we allow that just to take over our lives, we're going to be in trouble. God intends us to be a type of a person and not just guided by all our whims of life. And I don't know how much Adam and Eve, I don't know how much they felt or realized about their sons. But I think if I'd have been Adam, I think I'd have taken my sons aside once in a while and said, son, don't let that grow. Don't be like that. Y'all, it seems like it's only natural to get a couple boys together growing up. They're liable to be out there working in the field. They may pick up a clod of dirt and throw at one at the other. Yeah, it's kind of natural. But along with that, it excites an emotion, doesn't it? A reaction. Sometimes it's an angry reaction. Is that a good thing to be your God? It's not. And I believe that likely Adam may have saw some of those things in his children, and he said, don't do that. Don't, son, if you'd just known, I went down that road. I was there when your mother said, look at this, and I got attracted, and oh, it's cost me so much. Son, don't do that. And they didn't know well what daddy meant. They didn't know, and somehow they had to try themselves. The process of time, this sense of responsibility to God began to grow within them. And they decided that they needed to have a sacrifice. What was this? This was something, a sense of responsibility before God. They needed to have a sacrifice. Who taught them? I don't know. Maybe God. Maybe Adam and Eve said that. Maybe they taught their sons that we need to bring a sacrifice to the Lord. But anyway, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering, brought the fruit of the ground and offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Notice emotion. Notice. You know, we don't find it. I don't know where the emotion came in early on. Maybe it was when, first time it maybe came about was when Adam woke up and found his wife, and he said, woman. But there likely was a great, who is this? But anyway, as we go through life, there's a changing. We become alive, and we deal now. Today, you and I deal with decisions of life and emotions that we sometimes base those decisions on. Well, I want us to realize part of what we need to do tonight is not allow our emotions to be our God, but to love the Lord and allow His light to shine upon us. Well, here, these young men, they were dealing with this emotion, and God, somehow, they recognized one of them was received and the other sacrifice wasn't. Now, how would that make you feel right here today if someone here was well received and the others was not? Well, I'm kind of being left out here. Why not me? So what are we going to feel? Well, we're human. We're going to feel a little down. We're going to feel a little bit displaced. Maybe not important. And so now I've got emotion on my hands. I've got a feeling. I've got something that I am going to need to deal with. Now one thing I can do, I can give over to that. And I can let that brew. I want to think a little bit about the ground. I've been a farmer. I worked with the ground myself. And I've learned over the process of time that there are some things that certain soil types, things will grow in, and some it won't. Now, if you want to have blueberries, get you some good acidic soil. But if you want to grow a crop of wheat, better not have acid so high, because you're not going to make bread out of that. It's not going to grow. It's not going to work well at all. Not going to have a good harvest. Well, there are some things that's going to grow in your life. If you have an acid soil, if If you have an acidic tongue, if you have something growing in you that's a rotten heart, something that's not right, you've got things there. You know what? The devil's, he's always out there casting seed. He's going to come by and put some seed in your ground. It depends on what type of ground that we have. It's what is going to grow there and what's going to do well. There was something that began to grow in Cain's heart that should never started growing. Something began to build up in his mind and his, I know he felt hurt, he felt displaced, he felt disrespected, he felt like, surely, I don't know what all must have been going through his mind, but it said he was wroth. All right, let's go on here. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell all over his face. Have you ever noticed that sometimes? Have you ever been able, I don't want to use that term, but a real just straight face, maybe I will. You've heard of the poker face, you know what that means. That's when you just don't show, nobody can read your face. How well are you at doing that? When somebody comes up and hurts your feelings, countenance right out front where everybody sees it. It's kind of hard for us, isn't it? When we're dealing with something like that, it just kind of comes out and it paints itself all over my face. I'm not saying you need to always hide your emotions, but you need to recognize your emotions. You need to recognize what's happening now. Because the problem is, if we keep going down that road, I become wroth. Something is beginning to boil within my own spirit. There is an attitude. There is thinking going on now in my mind that if I keep going down this road, it will also produce this seed that has begun now to grow in my heart and in my mind. It will produce after its kind. And it's not going to be pretty. And that's what happened here with Cain. He was wroth, his countenance, it showed all over his face. And the Lord came by. I love when we have a window that opens to our mind of the character of our Lord. You know, God could have just let him go. Never said anything to him. That's not, again, I say, we don't have an absentee father. He loves. He's interested in every one of us here tonight. He's interested in our future and what's growing in your garden. And he stopped by where Cain was wroth, where his countenance, I don't know. I had a bad habit when I was young, when I didn't like what was going on. I had a way of pursing my lips all up and having a frown, and my mother would say, get that look off your face. Don't do that. It all was on your countenance, you see. And it speaks about something down here. Well, God doesn't need to see our countenance because he knows our heart. He knows what's there. And he came by and spoke with Cain. He says, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Do you think Cain was willing to humble his heart and say, well, Lord, this is it. I don't know what, just tell me what's wrong here and I'll try to fix it. Do you think that was the attitude he had, or did he burrow down in his anger? Seems to me like he burrowed down in his anger, didn't he? How well does that serve us in life? Not very well. Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? You see, it wasn't, I don't believe, the type of sacrifice that he gave. I think it was a type of heart that he brought. I'll give you an example why I feel this way. It wasn't the grandeur of his, or the lack of grandeur of his sacrifice that caused him not to be received of the Lord. Remember the widow? You remember the one who brought two mites? Remember that one? And what was it Jesus said? She's given her more than they all. Look at this. He was watching everybody, and people could bring, and they brought much and cast into their giving. And one little old woman came up there, a widow, and she gave just two mites. And people may well have looked over that, but God, again, knowing our hearts, knowing everything, Jesus looked on and said, oh, look at this. Look at this. It's not the grandeur of what you give. It's the type of heart you bring. And she gave her all. She didn't hold anything back. And all during this meeting, I want to encourage us, as we bring ourselves to the Lord, we don't hide anything, but we open up our heart. Because we have a Heavenly Father that would love to lovingly shine His light down on our path. Because sometimes when that light shines in our heart, it exposes things we didn't know was there. Or maybe we knew was there, but we didn't know how to get rid of it. But once that light gets there, mixed with His grace and with His love, He brings us to a place of deliverance. He brings us to a place of wholeness and healing. Place of stability in our life. And that's what our Heavenly Father wants to do. So He'll come by and say, is it okay for you? Why are you like this? Why are you why is this growing in your garden? And when He does that, He's not doing it to try to cause us to be crushed. His desire is to enlighten us and help us to be delivered from, from such. Well, Cain didn't receive this very well. The Lord said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So I think what the Lord is saying here to Cain, if we could maybe understand through the translation here, I believe Cain was, I think the Lord was telling Cain, if something isn't right, if something has, and you recognize it's not right, well then, the sacrifice is right here. You recognize what you should do. You know what Cain should have done? He should have just humbled his heart before the Lord. The sacrifice was at the door. The remedy was at hand. It lied at the foot of his... You may have a little different view of that verse, but I think this is likely what maybe this meant, is that the remedy for the... It could also mean that if you keep bucking up like this, it's going to cause sin in your life. I understand that. And it will. But I think the Lord was also trying to deal with him and say, here's an opportunity. You can turn around. You don't have to continue going down this road, Cain. And if you did it, if you humbled your heart right here, well, your brother is naturally going to look up to you because you're the elder son. His desire is going to be toward you. Cain, this is your opportunity. Instead of having this angry countenance and this wrathful nature, turn to me. Turn that loose. Give a honorable sacrifice to me. Have your heart right. Because see here, that's what I believe was a major problem with his sacrifice. His heart wasn't right. Something was wrong there. So Cain, turn. I think the Lord was appealing so kindly to this young man. The Father in heaven appeals to us along life's road. Oh, I'm so grateful for his mercy because I have learned over the passage of time in my life, I have come through places where I met things I didn't know how to deal with well, and things began to get entrenched in my heart that wasn't right, and the Lord came by, and He loves us enough to come by and sit down and touch us on the shoulder and say, I need to talk with you. This isn't right. And if we will listen to His loving appeal to our heart, it will protect us from so much in our future. The Lord would like to guide us around these things. The Lord would like to protect us from things that would damage our very soul, our whole future. There's some temptations that we would avoid if we would listen to the very appeal of the conscience of God's Holy Spirit through our conscience to our soul, saying, turn here, turn. And oh, it would protect us so much if we would do so. This young man had an encounter with God that should have shaken him to a place of humility. Instead, seemed like he bucked up against it. Then it said, Cain went to talk with his brother. And Cain, 8th verse, Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel. Wonder what that conversation was. It said Cain went to talk with his brother. I don't know. Do you think? It didn't turn out very well. I wonder what he said. Did he come up and say, Cain, Abel, I love you, and I wish you'd go pray with me. I wish you'd. You think that's how the conversation went? I believe if he'd have done it like that, I think they'd have still been brothers. It wouldn't have been any trouble. But instead, it sounded like he. Again, I'm surmising. I can't feel. I'm just. The Bible doesn't really tell us what he said. But I'm just knowing human nature and thinking, likely he went over there and said, Abel, the Lord showed favor to you. I don't like it. Oh, what? And Abel may have hung his head and said, well, brother, I don't think you had a good attitude with that, did you? When you brought that, what? It didn't look right when you brought that. I don't know what he said, but it's likely what happened, or it could have. And Cain said, I don't like you telling me that. Still had a bad attitude, didn't he? I don't know the steps that were taking, but I know the result. They strove. He ended up, well, let's read it here. Where was it? 8th verse. Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. That was the result. He let his emotions, he let himself, something burrow into his heart. It caused him to rise up and slay his brother. What a horrible thing to do. You can't recall that one. It was done. What do you do with it now? It's a horrible thing that happened. Well, I imagine right after that, it probably, there was such a sense of the finality of what he just did, and he likely tried to cover it up. I don't know. Maybe, did he bury his brother? Did he hide? I can tell you this much, nothing can be hidden from our Lord. The Lord again came by. The Lord said, 9th verse, said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? God knew. Sometimes he wants us to know. He wants us to admit where we are. He'll come by. Oh, yes. In great conviction, but in great tenderness. And say, what's there? What's going on? Where's your brother? And it sounds like Cain, and he answered him, where's Abel, thy brother? And he said, I don't know. Do you think that works very well in life when we're not honest? How does lying work? Well, I can tell you this much, even in the criminal world, they don't like lying. Amongst themselves, there's a certain code there that they kind of, if you lie to them, you're going to be in trouble because they expect your word to be good. But especially amongst the people of God, we should be known for our radical honesty. We should be known for the mark of the Lord being on our forehead. As Brother Rod said earlier today, this evening, there should be some characteristics of God so indelibly planted up on our character and who we are that when people look on, they could say, I think I know who you are. Also, somewhere in this conversation, what we talked about here this evening, there was the idea brought about in hard times is when it's really revealed what's growing, what's there. And when the hard times, it will reveal, and we want it to reveal godliness in our life. When Brother Forbes over here, Brother Bobby, known you all my life and couldn't remember your name. When Brother Bobby talking about how at work and there was plenty of opportunities at that moment in your job, all the frustration was there, all the emotion, what you felt. Because we all struggle with what we feel. You're going to struggle with that in life. You'll be confronted with that. But oh, we don't have to be a slave to it. Because there is grace. There is love. The very effect of God that comes to try to mentor us and guide us. To nurture our very soul around these pitfalls of life. But I will tell you also that those hard places of life, they will reveal what's growing there. And if it's good things, it'll reveal it and be a blessing. And if we are allowing a rancor, a bitterness to grow in our heart, an acid soil to be there, there will also be a revealing of what's there in the hard places. And God wants to protect us from the embarrassment of those moments. I don't remember any time that I allowed my old carnal self to be on display. I don't remember one of those times that I'm proud of. Not one. I hang my head in shame many times. I've been alone before and remembered some of those moments and hung my head and groaned. I don't know about you, but I can tell you about myself. I've groaned when I remember some of and say, oh, I wish that. Things I wish. But the Lord would like to guide us around those moments. Guide us in a path that is away from that old carnal self, that old man that would stand up and give vent to all his emotions and allow the carnality to come out and look ugly. Well, the Lord came by Cain. Said, where's your brother? Cain didn't tell the truth. He said, I don't know. He did. So did God. God knew right where he was. And he said, I know not. And he said, listen to this. Am I my brother's keeper? Do you think that was spoken honestly? Or do you think, I could almost hear a flippant tone in his, am I my brother's keeper? What are you asking me for? Is my job to take it? Well, I want to ask that question to us tonight. Am I my brother's keeper? And there's an answer in here. Yes, at least to some degree, you are your brother's keeper. And sometimes when I think of that and realize that in my mind, we don't naturally want to take that responsibility that I am my brother's keeper. I have a responsibility to you. And you have a responsibility to me. We are interlocked. We're interwoven together in life. We have an effect on each other. And there are things that I can do that would affect you adversely. And if I know it's affecting you adversely, God would call me to a place of carefulness in how I deal with you. And kindness and gentleness. That I would cultivate the character of my Lord. How does He deal with us? Well, He deals with us very gently, does He not? I would remind us that if any of us received from His hand what we really deserve, there's none of us would be here tonight. Because there's mercy and there's grace and there's a love, and God has proven His love to us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly, those who looked ugly, who allowed carnality to be painted all over their life. God came to take those type of people and deliver them from that type of ugliness in their life and bring them to a place, they're changed, they're a new creature. Bring them to a place of cleanness and wholeness and gentleness, and where the fruit of the Spirit is being born in their life. It's what God wants. Am I my brother's keeper? Cain, almost in that verse, in that saying that he had, he said this almost in a way that it's not my problem. I have no responsibility here. Am I my brother's keeper? There is moral responsibility that we should grasp and say, yes, I have some responsibility here. This world is suffering in many ways because so many people are not taking responsibility. And I don't want to get off too much in that, but there's some truth in that. God help us to receive the responsibility that is ours and be man enough and woman enough that it's, we say, yes, I have some responsibility in here. A lot of times we can say, well, I'm just going to be me. Well, in the process of you being you, sometimes it can damage people around us. The process of me just giving over to my emotions and giving, I'm just going to do me. I'm going to be careful how you say that. When we take that type of an attitude, there's some things can start growing in our heart that disregards my fellow man and puts them in a vulnerable place. God help us not to do that, but to regard our brother and sister in such a way that we could make it easy for them to serve the Lord, that we could be helpful to them along life's way. And I understand in our human, in the course, in the process of time, that you and I deal with places in our life. Sometimes we inadvertently step on each other's toes, don't even realize that we're doing it, not knowing it. I understand that happens. But oh, we have a responsibility when I realize that I have. We should be once the quickest people in the world to turn and say, brother, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it that way at all. I am so sorry. And I want to encourage you. It's encourage each other to go forward. You see, after a while, Cain had hardened and calloused himself to the place that he spilled blood on the ground. His brother's blood. As we look to the people sitting next to us on the bench here tonight, these are brothers and sisters. And we do. Not only are they brothers and sisters, but we have a love for our brothers and sisters. There was a case one time I heard about. One brother felt like he had the truth and it was clear in his mind. And these were actual blood brothers. And his other brother came to services and this brother, something he didn't feel like his other brother was understanding or he wasn't measured up, and he told his brother. And he brought it to some of the ministers and said, he's not doing right. One of the ministers said, well, brother, he may not know. Oh, yes, he does. I told him. You see the type of things that can... Do you think that's very helpful? the Lord is the best teacher. And as He begins to reveal to our hearts, when He shines His light of truth where we are, where then we receive, and we're not shedding each other's blood. We are encouraging and inspiring by the grace of God. We are to be our brother's keeper. We are to be that one that truly loves and truly makes it as easy as we know how for our brother to make it to heaven, for our brother to measure up. If he's wrong, pray for him. Love him. Again, I would share with you something that I might have shared here before. My pastor for a few years was Brother Clifford Wilson. Very kind, very wise man. And he'd won my heart. And as a young man, I felt so comfortable around him and his spiritual leadership. I told him one time, Brother Clifford, if you ever see me going down the wrong path and I said, will you please come and tell me? And he looked at me and he kind of hung his head and he said, I'll probably tell the Father about it. You know how wise that is? You know, the Father in heaven is the one that can really convince us, can really convict us. And why I'm saying it like that, because there's nobody convinces us like our Lord of where truth lies in our life. And He will do this. He'll come by and talk with us, tap us on the shoulder and say, are you doing well? Is this, Jonah, remember what he allowed to grow in his heart? And the Lord came by and said, Jonah, do you do well to be angry? What was his response? Yes, Lord. Oh, Lord, help us. When the Lord comes by and taps us on the shoulder, let's humble down and say, Lord, yes. I want to be led. I don't want to be in such a place where my carnality, I flippantly say, well, am I my brother's keeper? I don't know about that. You know, yes, we do. Many times we do know. There's some responsibility that we have before the Lord. And the Lord comes to us. I see the clock tonight. But I want to encourage us as we pass through our life and we deal the emotions, and we deal with the things that would cause the inner man to start, something in there to start growing in that garden that's not good. Allow ourselves during this meeting to be vulnerable to the touch of God. As He comes by, because what He's really trying to do, He's trying to guide us around these things where, see, blood got spilled here. You can't call that back. The Lord David said, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. But keep back thy servant. Oh, God help us all here tonight to say, Lord, keep me from things that, keep me, correct me, Lord. Come near to me, Lord. Shine your light upon my pathway. Touch me deeply in my very bosom with this love that both holds me and corrects me. This way that you have with my soul of thoroughly helping me realize where I'm wrong, but thoroughly encouraging me at the same time that I might go forward and be victorious in my life. God help me, Lord. I want your love. I want that love effect. I want your light effective. I want your grace. Come near to me. Have mercy on me when I've done it wrong, Lord. And He does. Oh, we've got a wonderful Father tonight. I know that in this story about Cain, we see how badly it can turn out. And I don't have time to go through some of the other part here where he had to deal with the loss. It was a horrible thing. Sin has a long-lasting effect. When we go ahead and do our way, it it had a horrible effect on Cain's life. When we buck up against the dealings of the Lord, be assured, down the path of life, in the course of time, it'll bring us to a place of horrible regret. But all, as the Lord comes by and deals with us, if we listen to Him, He would like to plant some sweetness in our heart. He would like to plant some godly love in our heart. He would like to allow the light of His very Word to reveal places in us and help our understanding to be enlightened and to grasp what it really means. And the joy of the Lord becomes more full. And when you read the Scripture, as you go through life, as you grow in grace, and as you begin to read that Scripture, how much more real that it, meaningful it has, that it comes in your heart. So I encourage us tonight. I'd ask you, part of what I had for us tonight was the idea, the question, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, we are. We have some responsibility. But the first responsibility I have is a soul, is a man inside here. God calls for us tonight. God calls for us through this meeting that we come and yield to His appeal, that we give ourselves to Him and allow Him to paint His glory in our lives. As Brother Rod said earlier, live in such a way that the world may see God, that they may testify, those are children of God. I want to serve Him. Pray for me.